What's good? What's good? We are back. One and only Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Tonight's interview is probably going to be a controversial one, probably a funny one and an entertaining one. I think this guy goes by the green-headed geezer in the bare knuckle world. I've heard one podcaster say he might be the most hated name in bare knuckle. And I've also heard him say he was the most talked about guy at 0-1. So that says a lot too. Let's bring him on, Brandon Lambert.
What's going
Brandon,
on?
Brandon, what's good, man?
What's going on, Paul? Appreciate you having me on today, bud.
I'm glad you did this. I want to start with you in general at first. Let's start with like your Muay Thai background. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I embellished a lot of it, just tried to get signed. I did live in Thailand for a while. I did some kickboxing for a long time, did some village fights, things like that, but nothing really sanctioned or recordable. I talked with Sean Wheelock about it before during my interview, and you know, he's been over in Miramar and seen all the Southeast Asian markets and kind of see how everything goes. Mm-hmm. So he kind of knew where I was coming from. I think he knew that I didn't have the experience that I told Dave that I had in the beginning. But, you know, I was trying to open up a door and get to where everybody was wanting to be at the time, you know, and it just happened to work out.
Now, what made you want to get into bare knuckle, and what was the process like of getting into bare knuckle?
To be 100% honest, I got into bare knuckle so I'd have a platform to be able to share my story and reach my children. I'm being alienated from my three children from my previous marriage. Okay. I haven't seen them in 4 or 5 years. And, I'm not having any luck with court systems or anything like that. So I was using this as a platform to kind of be able to spread that message a little bit.
And what was the process like trying to get in there?
I mean, so I knew Vince Anderson. He had reached out to me because I owned a CBD company at the time. And I used to sponsor a bunch of athletes, you know, Dustin Poirier and everybody, American Top Team in South Florida and all that. And I started going to a couple of the BKFCs. I cornered Chris Sorrow, like BKFC 8 or wherever it was. And I was talking about, a lot of people don't know this, just to back up a little bit. I was really involved with Bellator MMA, okay. Very involved with them. I was their sole CBD sponsor. I was at every event. And I had gotten into it with Logan Paul, okay. Right when he had signed that DAZN deal. And DAZN was dealing with Bellator. So we had gotten into it before the fights had started. We were cage side and we got into it. And I remember reaching out to Mike Kogan and I was like, hey, I want to fight Logan Paul. And he's like, well, he's trying to get into MMA. So they started to try to put that fight together and COVID happened. So Logan said, look, if we can't do this fight in the next 6 months, I'm going to boxing. And it wasn't okay. A week later, Bellator said that they're canceling all events for the rest of the year at least. So that killed my whole shit. And that kind of got me sparked into saying, hey, I want to get into bare knuckles. So I started doing mushrooms to kind of reset because I suffered from depression. And
wow.
I seen myself in the ring. So I started talking with Nate and, you know, they were kind of dicking me around a little bit. So I knew that they were signing Tyler Goodjohn. I knew he was a big name. Mm-hmm. So I locked in on him and I started making all these videos and just tagging BKFC. And it took about 6 or 7 months for them to really take notice, but everybody in BKFC, and I'm talking about the office people, not the fighters, but the office people, everybody loved me. They were telling Dave left and right, you've got to sign this kid. I don't care if he can fight or not, you got to sign him. And when they did sign me to fight, they actually flew me to Philadelphia to the headquarters so I could speak with Dave. And Dave did a training session with me. Damon Feldman did a training session with me. And Nate Shook did a training session with me. They wanted me to come in there and they wanted me to dominate Jared and become this big face of the company so they could push me. So then when we first got that signed, I was asking for a fight at 165.
Okay.
They called me and said, hey, can you make 135? And I said, yeah, no doubt for sure. I didn't realize I was almost 180 pounds at that time, and the fight was in 4 weeks.
Wow. That's something I actually wanted to ask you about, too, because I've heard fighters say that they spend so much time trying to lose weight, it puts a strain on them. Does it make more sense for fighters to just try to stay at the weight they're used to?
Honestly, bro, like, I've never been a fan of cutting weight. I don't understand the concept of cutting 20 and 30 pounds when the other guy is cutting 20 or 30 pounds. And then you're still fighting at almost your walk-around weight the next day. I can see cutting weight and fighting the same day like they used to do in England.
Yeah.
But to do it and then to be able to replenish it just makes no sense. I lost about 42 pounds, I think it was, to fight. And I think I only gained about 15 pounds back. But your body can recover from your water loss. Your body recovers within 24 hours. Your brain doesn't recover for 48 to 72 hours.
Man.
So you can watch my fight and you can tell. I mean, obviously I'm not, you know, the most skilled boxer in the world. But I had twisted my knee in the back, so I couldn't put weight on my front leg. And I was completely mentally gone. I had no clue where I was at. I was in the hospital for 2.5 weeks after that fight with kidney failure.
And did it affect your cardio trying to lose all that weight?
Yes. Yes.
It looked like you were tired as it went further in.
That was the most exhausted I've ever been in my entire life. I'd never been so tired. When I went down, I was really dazed, and I remember trying to get up, and I physically couldn't get up. And when he had hit me legally, obviously, but he hit me kind of in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Equilibrium away.
Now, Lytle says something about you got pretty cocky and your antics to that. Like, I've actually never seen that. I don't think in none of these fights. Did that play any part of it?
I think it took away energy. Yeah, I was more focused on putting on a show than I was actually.
That's what
fighting.
It felt like. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to consider myself a showman. And, you know, when I got in there, I could hear people screaming my name. When they announced me, I could hear the people. And, you know, as a regular dude that I didn't have, you know, 30 or 40 amateur fights. I didn't make this walk before. I was in a stadium. I was on TV.
Yeah.
And the whole experience was just, it wasn't overwhelming, but I was soaking it all in. So I was more into the entertainment aspect of it than I'm in a fucking fist fight.
Now, you didn't even go through the prospect series, right?
No, I got signed completely straight on. I got signed in right when they started to do the tryouts. Once I got signed, they started bringing me to the tryouts so other people would come to the tryouts because everybody was messaging Nate saying, hey, how do we get on board because we want to fight Mahlo? And then that's when they started pushing the tryouts.
Now, what was that tryout? That was just one tryout, and then they was like, all right, let's go? Because normally I hear you got to be a pro fighter or they want you to go through this prospect series for a little while.
Yeah. So they did the very first tryout before they had any event. That's where Sam Shoemaker and all them came from.
Okay.
So they had their first tryout, and then they had a couple of shows. And then they weren't really, they weren't having luck with bringing other people in, you know, paying people to come in. They weren't having luck with that. So they're like, we need to find more people to bring in. So they started the tryouts. And the tryout that they had right after I got signed was Plant City. That's where Zach Kalmus came from.
Okay.
Zach Kalmus was at that tryout. They had signed, Jean Herrera, rest in peace. They had signed him from there.
Is that the guy that died in the bare knuckle fight?
No, the one he just passed away a couple of months ago or last month in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, okay.
Damn. The one that passed away at the TikTok event was Justin Thornton.
And he actually kind of died after the match, right?
Yeah, he fell very awkwardly and broke his neck and then contracted pneumonia or the flu or something like that.
Oh, man.
Away from that.
That's crazy. Now, I saw an interview where you were saying you were having trouble trying to get the fights that you wanted. Is that the reason why you're not in BKFC now?
No. So their whole plan for me after I fought Jared, their whole plan for me was to fight dudes lower caliber than me and let me fight them. They wanted me to fight 3 or 4 times, get those wins with those bums, and then they were going to give me a title shot. And then after the title shot, win or lose, they were going to find a position within the company for me to be in. Cause I told them, look, I want to fight, you know, 3-4 times maybe. And that's it. Like, I'm not looking, you know, I was almost 40 years old at the time. I'm like, yeah. You know, I don't have a whole lot. I want to be involved with the company and blah, 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 blah. But they wanted to bring in lower caliber people that I could come in and do highlight reels in. And I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
And I thought that I could make a better living fighting these really good dudes, these Tom Schoefs, these Tyler Goodjohns, all these guys that I called out. It wasn't because I thought I was better than them. It was because I knew that they were great fighters and they weren't getting the recognition that they needed. So I thought, okay, well, I can just make a living out of everybody wants to tune in and watch me get beat up. They're not going to tune in and watch me get beat up by people they don't know, but they will tune in to watch people that they know are going to stomp me. And that's where I was kind of at with it. So they started offering me, you know, the Luke Parsons and then bringing in these dudes that they knew winless from MMA and all this. And I was like, look, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And then they finally gave me the Jack Claffey fight. And that dude was coming from WWE. Okay. This fight was happening right around the time that my oldest daughter's birthday was happening. And they were supposed to give me, they were supposed to do a bunch of interviews and all this stuff leading up to this fight and have a press conference. And I was supposed to do an interview to where I was going to be allowed to, you know, tell my daughter happy birthday and whatever. And that didn't happen. And that sent me into a spiral of depression. And then that sent me into a thing of, you know, fuck the BKFC, they don't care. So then I pulled out of that fight.
Okay.
Not one time did anybody from BKFC call. Like, I made a video, I think, crying online saying, I'm not showing up, I'm not doing this. Nobody from BKFC called me. Nobody. And you got to remember also that I didn't say this either. Me and Nate Shook were fucking best friends.
Okay, I didn't know that.
We were best friends. We talked every single day. We had vacations together. They came out to Florida. I went deep sea fishing with them. I helped them move into their new apartment. Like, all kinds of shit. Me and Nate were super close. So I've heard all these conversations about all these other fighters.
Yeah. And you would think with the fan, they always talk family atmosphere, that somebody would reach out.
Yes. And nobody reached out.
Yeah.
And then after the Claffey fight, or after that happened, you know, I got on medication, was good. And then they just started fucking with Elvin Brito real bad. And that's my main bitch, because that's my brother. I love that guy to death. Like, I go to war for him. And the way that they fucked that man over, Dave tells everybody, if you come in here and you fight your ass off, you've always got a job here. He says it a lot. He says it to all these fucking losers, these fucking bum ass dudes that come in for $1,500, $2,000 and fight these undefeated guys. They'll always have a job. But if you got a championship caliber fighter like Elvin Brito that just so happens not to move a needle because he doesn't have, he's not flashy and flary and talk a lot of shit, but he's a great fighter. He's great defensively. And the promotion doesn't do what they're supposed to do in promoting. They want to pay people to promote for them. They don't want to promote their fighters and build things internally. And they put Elvin into a title fight with a guy that he already lost to with no rematch clause, and then started trying to feed him bums after that, telling him, well, you can't fight on this card because we can't afford to pay you your purse. You're not worth the purse that we're, so we have to wait on that. And just pushing people back, not paying them what they're contractually obligated to pay them, but bringing in new people and giving them opportunities, or overpaying people because they have celebrity status. That's where I really started to have a problem with it. And then I told Dave, whenever he signed Mike Perry, I said, if you start doing shit and bringing in Mike Perry and shitting on everybody else, I'm going to go to war with you. And that's what I've done.
So I'm glad you actually brought that up. Cause I mean, I watched they played the rematch of Elvin Brito's last fight where he won. And at the end of the match, he was like, yo, where's my title shot? Where's my title shot? But I feel like they do the same thing to Redneck Mandel, the way they treat him, even though he's got the belt. It's like, how the hell is Mike Perry the face of the league and he don't got a belt?
And he says he don't want a belt. I don't think he wants to fight Mandel.
Well, I know he don't want to fight Mandel.
Because let's be honest here, bro. Let's be fucking honest here. Mundell beat Hector when Hector was on that big fucking tear and they came down to Miami and he filled in last minute. David beat Hector's ass and they fucked him because Hector was at home and Hector sells a bunch of tickets. They protect their ticket sellers. Dave doesn't sell tickets. So now what they're doing, this pisses me off even more because if you knew my background, I used to be really close with King Mo.
Okay.
Like super close with King Mo.
Okay.
And now they got him going in there. He's on a 5-fight losing streak. He hasn't been decisioned 5 times. He hasn't said, he hasn't been submitted 5 times. He's been knocked out 5 fucking times. So you're going to put him with no experience in bare knuckle. You're going to put him in with a 7-1 champion. They're doing it to steal his fans. So they're raping these guys.
Yeah, that's what Redneck was saying. It's just like, he's a big name. Because I was like, now this is like, this is his debut. This can't be no title shot, right? He's like, nah, this ain't no title shot. And why would it be? I mean, a debut title shot, that'd be the dumbest thing ever. I mean, well, I do think they're going for the stars a little too much. I do know they did want Kai Stewart to lose to Howard Davis. I definitely know. Yeah, and El Gallo. Because El Gallo throws out the, you know, 100,000 ticket sales. And don't get me wrong, El Gallo, I like him. He's a tough fighter. But, like, it should be the best fighters versus the best fighters, in my opinion.
Brandon Allen should be fighting for the title right now. There is no other person on this fucking... Jimmy Rivera, are you fucking serious?
And you know why he's not fighting for the title?
Because he doesn't sell tickets.
What you said, he's not flashy, he don't sell tickets. I was supposed to interview Brandon, and I'm not going to lie, I felt like he gave me a BS excuse. Because it's the typical excuse that an adult gives when they want to get out of something. My kids are sick. and he didn't hit me back about rescheduling. Usually when cats, like, you know, something goes down, they like, yo, my bad, let's reschedule, and then we reschedule, because I understand shit happens, but when he kind of went crickets on me, I was like, yeah, he just didn't want to do the interview, and that's another thing, like, they want you to get your name out there, and if he's going to push back on that, man, they're probably going to keep overlooking him.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you have to be, you got to look at it. They knew whenever they signed me, they weren't signing me thinking, this dude's a fucking great Muay Thai fighter, we can't wait to get him in there. They knew when they could find no record of anything, they knew what it was. But they didn't care. And that's what I'm saying. They don't fucking care. If you will sign up to get knocked out, like the Angel, I think it's Angel Perez, but he's like Angel Towing on social media. He fought Rain Wells, the guy off the couch. The dude that got the fucking portrait of Conor McGregor. And
you ain't talking about the kid I just interviewed.
I think it's his dad.
Okay, because I just interviewed the guy that's supposed to be the youngest dude in the bare knuckle.
Yeah, I think the other Angel is his father. I think that's what it is. Okay. So anyway, that dude has like 100 fucking fights.
Wow.
Rain Wells is 0-2 in MMA. What the fuck is he doing fighting bare knuckle, a dude that has over 100 fucking fights? Why is he not fighting another debut guy that has the same amount? Why would they put me in there with Jared Grant that had over 70 fucking fights? He had like 40 or 50 amateur fights, maybe he had 60 fights or whatever. So with 30 or 40 or 50 amateur fights, he was 3-0. And they bring a dude with 0-0 coming in. That's their typical matchups.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to do that to me. They wanted to get me up to like 4-1, 5-1 by feeding me these bum ass dudes. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that because there's no fair. There's nothing fair for that. I'm not getting anything fair because I'm walking through people. I'm not getting better. I figured if I'm fighting the Tom Schoefs and the Tyler Goodjohns of the division, I have no choice but to get better. So I'm advancing myself and I'm helping them by bringing eyes to the sport, eyes to the fighters, and doing that number. And that's what I had signed up for. And they wanted something totally different. I can't get down with that. And these, my inbox is full of fighters saying, hey, man, keep preaching. But I can't say anything because I feel trapped.
And that's the thing. They can't call out Dave like you did. Appreciate that link the other day.
Yeah, I've always got the fight link, so hit me up on social media. I'll give them to you.
And you know what's crazy? After you did that, like, I had a picture of Dave up in here, but I had to change it out for the Mike Perry picture, which I hate Mike Perry, to be honest with you. I don't even like him because I'm a redneck guy. But I don't want to say hate because I don't know the guy. But I just think, like, they prop him up a little too much, like, over some of these other fighters. I mean, I got Luis over here, you know, and I know you were talking tremendously heavy about him, about he's the greatest bare-knuckle fighter, in your opinion.
Yeah, he was always, like besides Elvin Brito will always be my favorite bare-knuckle fighter. Because he's a beautiful human being. I love that guy. I'll always go to war for him. But Luis was, like, the pound-for-pound guy, you know what I mean? And then, and just like now, they're putting him against Fames. Fames lost to Brandon Meyer. And no disrespect to Beast Mode. Beast Mode's an awesome dude and a good fighter. But I've trained with Fames. Fames should have walked through Brandon. Fames has no heart. Fames is also a thief, in case you didn't know. He borrowed $5,000 from me, is yet to pay me back.
Oh, man.
And then he also sold Crystal Pittman a fucking dog and then never sent her the dog after she sent him the money. So Fames is a piece of shit. I ever see him, there's going to be furniture moving around.
Now, you started making a move into BYB, right?
I love BYB. I love everything BYB stands for.
Now, I saw you were supposed to have a fight, but did you get injured and it had a, you couldn't do the fight?
Yeah, I was, I got offered to get flown out to England and fight Alex Wilson. And I was training in South Florida with Ryan Perez and Slaughterhouse with Brian Duran and HD and all them.
Okay.
And I tore my shoulder, my labrum tore, completely separated. So I thought about going out there and fighting one-handed and shit, but this is at 185 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
If it was at 140 or 155, I might have said, hell with it, I'll go out there and whatever. But at 185, those are some big, heavy shots coming. I couldn't move my shoulder, so I hit up BYB and I was like, hey, look, I tore my shoulder. I don't think that I can pass the physicals when we get there. So they pulled the fight. And I've been trying to get a fight with them since. But it just hasn't happened yet, so we'll figure it out, hopefully.
Now, have you done any fights in their ring at all, even when you went over there, like, training or whatnot?
Oh, in their Trigon?
Like, yeah, that ring is a lot different. It looks...
Yeah, so I did go to the headquarters of BYB down in South Florida, and I did a photo shoot, an interview, and did a little bit of moving around, but we've never done any kind of real training there.
Yeah.
But Ryan Perez would always set us up with a triangle inside of our ring, and we fought inside of that. Ryan Perez is one of the best boxing coaches I've ever had.
Now, for somebody that doesn't watch BYB that much, who's some of the names I should be looking at?
Well, I mean, you'll know this name right off the bat if you watch BKFC, but Gustavo Trujillo.
I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, he's the one that knocked out Lorenzo Hunt.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so he was in there. And that's another thing. That dude's a beast and a killer. And they wouldn't give him the fights that he deserved because they figured that he was going to lose. Because, like, I had heard, I don't know this for a fact, and I'm not talking shit on Alan Belcher at all. I think Alan Belcher is an awesome dude. Mm. He's always treated me with respect and always been nice to me. But I heard that he was helping the BKFC with their social media stuff. And then started talking about maybe fighting, and his debut, he made like $45,000 or $50,000. And at that time, they were paying champions like $15,000. So that was the highest person that they paid at that point until Mike Perry came on board. But that was like $45,000 for just some one-off fight. And then I think what happened was they weren't going to give him the money that he was wanting. So that's why he moved and went on off and did his own thing and went to GameBred.
So what's the biggest differences between BYB and BKFC besides, like, the fights being lopsided to you?
Well, for one, if you fly out of the country, you go anywhere with BYB and you fight on Friday, you don't leave where you're at until Sunday. If you fight on Saturday, you don't leave until Monday. They give you an extra day to chill out. BKFC.
Yeah.
You fight, you get done, you get back to the hotel at 2 o'clock, you're at the airport at 4:30 to fly home.
Is that why you think they booking people always like Kansas City had all these Missouri guys? Cause, like, you ain't gotta fly them nowhere, right?
They're
no hotels or nothing.
It's ticket sales. Yeah. They need ticket sales.
Yeah.
So they know that they can get viewership on the app and all that when they have Mike Perry and all that. Those are usually pay-per-view numbers because those Mike Perry fans, they're not bare knuckle fans. They're Mike Perry fans.
Yeah, you're right. Fans. Yeah.
So they don't get the app. They just buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So that's pay-per-view buys every time. So now for the app views, they want to get people to subscribe to the app and sell tickets. They get everybody locally to sell tickets, give them their own link for the app, have them spread that out, and then boom, they got 700-800 new subscriptions a month just off of one little show, off a little area, and then they sold their place out because they got all local fighters. The thing about BYB is they build their fighters because they have, you can see at least two or three fighters almost every single card.
Okay.
It's very rare you see a guy fight back-to-back with BKFC. It's 10, 12, 13 months before they fight again, unless they're Derek Gates or somebody that comes in for a last minute. Like, just explain to me why the most active people on the roster for BKFC are people with losing records. Explain that part to me.
And it also seems like they stack the Florida cards so much and leave nothing, let everything else bare across the board.
Yes. So this last card where when Brian Duran headlined.
That was stacked. Yeah.
Yeah. Justin Iabola was supposed to be on the prelims.
Yeah.
He ended up selling a shit ton of tickets. So they took the dude that was on the main card and completely canceled his fight.
And who was that?
Justin up there. Boom.
Who's the one they canceled?
I can't remember the guy's name. But I'm not going to call him out because there was another Florida guy on that card that told me about it. And I did some research and found out about it. But there's so many fighters on the BKFC roster that see the truth in what I'm saying, but they don't say anything because they think this is the only place to go. They don't realize that because they see BKFC taking in BYB guys and then feeding them to the wolves and then shelving them. I mean, they took Seth Schaefer. I think Seth Schaefer is a really good fighter. He was the BYB champion. They brought him in his very first fight. Who does he fight? The dude is supposed to already be champion, Brandon Allen. And Brandon Allen folded his clothes with him wearing them. And then he's shelved. Haven't seen him again. With Jomie, they took Jomie from BYB, fed him to a bunch of killers. Jomie ended up winning. And then they held him off of a title shot because he didn't have a following. And that's out of David's mouth, not mine.
Yeah.
So when you have a promoter telling you, you don't sell enough tickets, so we're not giving you a title shot, even though you deserve it, you know there's a problem. But for some reason, these dudes have this hex on them that they can't go anywhere else, so they can't say anything. But they message me and tell me to keep preaching. And I don't do it for them. I do it for people like Elvin. When Elvin lost that fight this weekend, you could see it in his face how devastated he was because – now what is he going to do? Because his boss already told him if he loses, he probably doesn't have much left to do for the company. And the dude's had 9 or 10 fights for that company.
I saw that. You actually you went in on that. But Elvin was actually agreeing with that. Like, do you think he really agreed with that?
He can't.
I mean, because he didn't have to comment. I mean, he could have just step back.
Elvin loves to be that voice of reason, that level-headed guy, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So he probably did that, not even to say anything about himself. He probably did that to kind of lessen the load on me.
Yeah.
To take back from what I said a little bit so people wouldn't come down so hard on me. I don't think he commented for himself. I think he commented for me. But there's no way he believes that because – that dude has done anything and everything that company has asked him to do, and he's done it with a smile on his face. And for them to treat him like that is just it's asinine to me, and it should be a wake up call to all these other guys.
So it seems like you really, really love bare knuckle, but you kind of got this. It seems like you got a love hate relationship with BKFC because I mean you're making money still, like you said, off of the bet. I saw you posted like you get $1,000 every time you like. Let me ask you this: did you bet on? So you betted on the last one. Did you bet on that Charlene Hedler chick? Charlene Gellner.
No, because I didn't know anybody on this Kansas card. Elvin was the only person. Elvin and Jake. There was a couple people that I knew, but like I didn't know a majority of this. This was all local people. Like it was a very weird event. And they're talking about that Gellner girl being going up against Christine. There's not a woman on the roster. You're not going to find anybody that's going to beat her. There's nobody going to beat Christine. Nobody.
I could agree with you, but when I instantly saw her, I was like, she's ferocious. And if there's anybody that they got to put up against her eventually, she's going to end up fighting Christine. She's going to end up fighting her.
She's ferocious because she was against a kitten. She wasn't against another killer.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? She wasn't.
Yeah.
You take a shot from Christine, you're reevaluating yourself, life choices. And I think the majority of it, and I hope neither one of these women get offended by this, but I think the reason that they're comparing them is because they kind of have the same style. You know what I mean? They look the same. They don't have the same facial features, obviously, but they look the same. They have a similar look, similar image, you know? So I think that's why they're kind of comparing them. And I just don't think that you can disrespect Christine by seeing a girl fight one time and beat up a girl that really couldn't fight. She was tough, but she couldn't fight. And then say, she should fight the champion. Christine should be fighting big name people. When they bring in big names, they should be at Christine's feet because she's deserved and earned that opportunity to make that money. I wouldn't have a problem if they gave people that deserve the opportunity to fight the Mike Perrys and the Chad Mendez, like Fames. They paid Fames a fuck ton of money to fight Chad Mendez, and all because he can sell tickets. They paid him like $130,000 to fight Chad.
Damn.
And then he went off and lost to Brandon Meyer. Like, and Justin Seals. I could beat Justin Seals with one arm, and he got dog walked by him.
Do you feel like the females might get it even worse being that, like, they only get one fight every pay-per-view? All their matches go the distance every time. So you're going to get, you know, typically a good fight. I mean, this last one was good. I mean, old girl was beat up, you know, at the end.
Yeah, it was a good fight.
Yeah.
Not discounting that. That was a great fight. She didn't know what she was doing, really. She was very...
Charlene was kind of, I hate to say it, like, she was kind of manly with her fight style.
Well, and so was Christine, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, you know, but I think me and you are meaning the same exact thing. She's very violent, and you don't expect that from females.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have a similar style, but Christine is just, her boxing's crisp, her footwork, and her determination. Like, you're going to have to, you have to hurt her. Like, you have to put her, like, she can't just be bleeding and be, she can bleed all day long. She's not going to wipe her face. You got to hurt her to get her down. And I just don't see a female being able to beat her.
So, BYB, what do they got to do to catch up with BKFC as far as popularity? Because they definitely are lacking on that some.
I think it's the lack of the spectacular knockouts, the viral moments, the viral clips. That's what it is. But this very last card had a bunch of very viral moments. The very best, one of the very best bare knuckle fights you'll ever see is LT Nelson versus Barry Jones. Okay. That was a war. And that was an actual bare knuckle fight. That wasn't just people swinging, hoping they could hit something. That was very technical. LT, he's the GOAT. He right now, he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in bare knuckle, 100%. But they just need the more exposure. Maybe doing an app or doing something in a big venue in big cities. They're going to these fighters' hometowns and putting on shows. They're not going to venues and being like, we want this venue. We're going to take the guys from this local town. They're taking the fighter and saying, okay, well, we'll just build the event around you. So they're doing the things that they're supposed to do, but the community's not grabbing onto it or realizing exactly what they're doing. But they have a lot of great homegrown talent. I mean, you got guys in there right now that they've only fought for BYB and they've only been there for a year or two, and they're like 4 and 5 fights deep.
And how old is BYB now?
I want to six, 7 years or something. I know so that
about,
they started.
That's about the same time as Bare Knuckle. I mean, yeah, BKC, yeah, right?
They started in the Triangle Cage.
Okay.
They did the Triangle Cage at first, and then it evolved into the ring. Because I remember watching them back in the day, you know, the one-offs or whatever. And I still remember watching BKFC one, thinking that was, you know, spectacular. It was awesome. But the fighters need to be more vocal. They got a lot of humble people there that they don't make a lot of noise. Like, I have never, well, I have been to England. I went to England a couple of years ago. I've never fought in England.
Yeah.
And I got a big fan base over there just because of the Tyler Goodjohn stuff. Like my,
yeah,
I've lost my social media account since then, but I was maxed out of friends on my Facebook account, and half of them were from England. So like, I've got a very big following, and I talk to Jim and Joe all the time from BKB. So, you know, hopefully we can all get together and we can sit down with Mike and Mel and Jim and Joe, and we can put it together. Cause I really want to fight the British. I think I can sell good storylines with the British fights and, you know, I want to help bring eyes to the company and help it grow and help the fighters. Cause BKFC talks about a family community. BYB has a family community. Like, Mel will even show up sometimes to other people's fights if he's in the area, and he doesn't have to do that, but he goes in and he supports. Mike will fly out and go to people's fights. So like, it's a big family atmosphere. Dave can't remember people's first names. He can give a fuck less.
Do you think there's enough podcasters and content creators covering the BYB as much as the BKFC? Because I don't see, yeah, I didn't think there was.
No, there's not. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because every fight, the reason I like BYB so much is every fight is competitive, whether it's lackluster or not, skillful or not. There's never really a boring fight, and it's not one person getting dominated. Now, you do have some fights where somebody gets in there and they quit. That happens on both organizations. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But most of the time, both fighters take damage. So you're earning your stripes in that aspect. I have no respect for dudes that go in there and plow through these dudes that have no wins, and they knock them out in 4 and 5 seconds, and then they get up there and they fucking, oh, give me the belt. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Like, do a fight. That's why, like, they offered me, and this is no disrespect to Travis Thompson. I think Travis Thompson would have beat me also. But they gave me an option when they signed me up for BKFC. They said, do you want to fight Travis Thompson, which is like 3-3, or do you want to fight Jared Grant? And I said, well, Jared Grant's undefeated, right? And they're like, yes. I said, yeah, let me have Jared. And it wasn't disrespect to Travis. It was just I wanted to be able to say, hey, I'm going against this the better competition. Every time I go out there, it's against better competition. And that's what I was preaching to Nate. And then that's when they finally gave me the Claffey fight, because I felt like he was on the level that I needed to be on as far as popularity. I could gain his fans, because I think I would have beat Claffey. But my depression beat me. I lost to my mental health at that point.
Now, what happened with you and that Robert Washington cat at PKFC 17?
So I was really close with Ryan Jones at the time, and I'm still close with him. I talk with him a lot. And he had said something, called him a pussy or a bitch or some shit. So I walked up to Robert and I was like, hey, bro, like, I don't appreciate that. Like, me and you're going to have to settle it. I'm going to see you at 185. And I was like 145, 150 pounds at the time. And he said, okay, whatever, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And we kind of got into a verbal altercation. And then he said, come outside, follow me outside. And I was like, okay, don't you ever tell me to follow you outside. I'll follow you outside. Let's go. And he turned to go to walk outside, and then he just spun around and fucking sucker punched me.
And then somebody grabbed him. Was that your boy that grabbed him?
Tony Soto came in and put him into a chokehold, threw him down, because he's a corrections officer. And he threw him into a chokehold. And then Quentin Henry came in there, and he was getting into it. He was trying to stop him.
Wait, so Loco Soto is a correctional officer?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's from my state of North Carolina, so he must be a correctional officer in North Carolina then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes sense, because where he stays like out towards the country and whatnot, and they always got the prisons out there.
Yeah. So I don't know if he still does it since he opened up his gym, but I think he lives in Hickory or somewhere like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like, and I, me and Tony were cool. And then, in Albuquerque, him and his wife were out drinking at the casino. I was at the hotel drunk as shit. And he called me to come and pick him and his wife up like 4 or 5 miles down the road. And I'm like, well, hang on a minute. I'm in a hot tub. I'm drunk. I got to find my keys. Give me a second. He got all pissed off and we've been at war ever since. So wow. Fuck Tony Soto.
Yeah. So he's got a fight in Spain. You think he's going to win that one?
I mean, he should. Tenaglia yeah. sucks. But he shouldn't even be fighting that fight. He lost to Good John for one. But I don't see their draw with him because he has no star power. He has arthritis in both fucking hands. He looks horrible. And he throws wide looping punches. So it's not like he's very good technically. So I don't know why they're putting him on the title shot and why he's got a title shot before all these other guys. But it is what it is. Hey,
so Knuckle Podcast said you're probably the most hated name in Bare Knuckle. Is that true?
I would say so, yeah.
And they also said you was the most talked about at 0-1. Like, how was that?
Yeah, I mean, because, like, right after my, like, even Dave Feldman Jr. told me face-to-face, he said, you are the best self-promoter that I've ever seen. And it's because I don't know how or why it happens, but I just get engagement. And, like, I can put all my posts. I'll post anything. And they'll be like, well, you're 0-1. You suck. Everything comes back to me being 0-1. But everybody that watches Bare Knuckle, they know who I am. Dave Mundell was going after me saying I was the money fight. I was 145 pounds. He's 185 pounds. He was talking shit to me online because he knew that if you contacted me, people were going to look at you. That's why BKFC had me go at Joe Riggs when Joe Riggs was fighting in Florida. I went to the weigh-ins and got into it with them. They posted that. Then they signed Diego Sanchez. Me and Diego were super fucking close. Super close for years. And then he came on board and they're like, hey, you should start beef with him. So then I started a beef with him and ruined my friendship with Diego over it. Like they were using me to promote all these other guys because they knew people would tune in. And then the cash cow came on board and that was Mike Perry. And then boom, they didn't give a fuck about nobody else.
So you think they're always going to have that mindset that if you're not self-promoting, that we just
100%
gotta overlook you?
You can be the best fighter in the world. If you can't sell tickets or bring eyes to the pay-per-view, they have no use for you. And then they go on and say, well, we want the best fighters in the world. We want the best. No, you don't. No, you don't. If they would just be real and say, hey, look, we like to put on great knockouts, great entertaining fights for violent fan lovers, and that's what we do, I wouldn't say a word about it. But they go off and say, oh, we're this big company and we do all that. No, they don't. All their sold-out shows in South Florida, I've went to for free by going up. All you have to do, here's a free tip for everybody. If they're in your area, go the day of the fight and go to the box office and ask them if they have any BKFC tickets. They're going to give you some because they always have sections open. They're never sold out. Dave is a fucking liar. He never sells out.
Well, I know they give away free tickets. I kind of got into this whole BKFC thing through Josh Chassie. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, sir.
I guess he's one of the guys that help sell tickets and stuff like that for BKFC. And they go out and pass. He said it like they pass out a bunch of tickets.
Yep.
And the way they do it is you come there with the free ticket. And as long as you got the app downloaded, you don't have to subscribe to the app. But just your ticket and the app, you know, on your phone and you get in. So we know like every ticket is not sold. Yeah.
Yeah. But with BYB, I was invited to like 4 or 5 different shows and there was shows that I couldn't get into because there was no fucking seats. They turned Shaq away one time. And then Mike heard about it and was like, hold it. No, we'll get. And he called the venue, got everything done, had the fire marshals all done. And they brought like the 6 because Shaq came with like 7 or 8 people. And so BYB actually sells out shows. Now, granted, they're in a lot of smaller venues. Not all the venues are small. Some of them are smaller. But most of their shows sell out. And you don't need it. Why would you want a big-ass arena and have it halfway filled up? I would much rather have a smaller arena and have it completely packed and have the energy. The energy at the BKFC is cool because you got the lights and all that good stuff. That part's cool. You don't have that much, you know, lights and stuff at BYB. But the energy from the fans and the fight, like, you could just feel it there. I love the energy at BYB more than I do BKFC. Now, you see a lot more celebrities and stuff at BKFC, but that's because they reach out to their agents and their managers, and they give them a shit ton of tickets. And, you know, if they would just be real and instead of lying all the fucking time, that's all they do is lie. I've not caught Mike Vasquez in one single fucking lie. Not once. But I've caught Dave in a million.
Yeah, I heard Bam was supposed to do something with him. And I'm just like, that doesn't really fit to me.
Well, he's supposed to do commentary. Okay. So what they're trying to do is bring in a younger audience, which doesn't make any sense because nobody young knows Bam anymore. It's all people my age. Yeah. And we already kind of are watching it. But they're grasping at straws. If you look and pay attention, you watch their shows. They're this big company. They got this big-ass roster, but yet they keep signing new people. Why are you signing so many new people when you got the roster of the best fighters in the world and they're fighting once a year? I'll tell you why. Because every time you win, your purse goes up. If you can't sell tickets to match your purse, they're going to postpone you. That's exactly what they were doing with Elvin. Elvin was supposed to fight four different times. They called him 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before the fight every time. Hey, we got to move your fight back. We can't afford to fight to pay you your purse. We need you to fight somebody else. We're going to do it this month. And then fuck him off on that month. And that's how this man pays and lives and feeds his family, is from fighting. You can't promise somebody, hey, you're going to get paid this much money on this date. And then say, well, actually, it's going to be later down the line. You can't fucking do that. And Dave does it all the time. I never got my ticket money. I'm still owed ticket commission. And I never got it. And I sold a fuck ton of tables. I had Bone Thugs and Harmony there. I had everybody at that point.
So what? But you sold some tickets to Bone Thugs and Harmony?
I bought the fucking table for them.
Oh, okay.
I brought them out, and then I sold like 7 or 8 tables and like 70 or 80 general admission tickets, like the second bowl thing ticket. Like, it was a couple thousand, you know, like $10,000-$20,000 in tickets I sold. I should have got at least $2,000 for, but I still have my fight check. I never even cashed it. I just kept it just for a remembrance thing.
Now, Shaq was at that last BYB fight, right?
Yeah.
Does he sponsor somebody over there too?
Nah, he just loves fights.
He just loves it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, that's the good thing about BYB. You don't see them shouting out 700 different sponsors because they don't have very many sponsors.
Okay.
They don't need them. Mike is doing this all on his own. Dave is getting 19 million investors. When you have fighters that own part of the company, that tells you something ain't right. When you got to give away part of your company to keep your fighter on board, because if you watch the interviews, go watch interviews from Mike Perry after the London, after the MP, after the Michael Venom Page fight. Mm-hmm. They were saying, oh yeah, you know, you're over here, you're getting all this exposure. And Mike said, I don't know about all the exposure because I was there and I didn't see very many people there. And then I was like, oh shit, he's going to fucking leave. And then boom, they give him ownership and now he signed a new deal with them.
And that's why he said Conor can't fire him, because technically he's still an owner. Do you know if there's any truth to that though? Like Conor firing him?
Or is they're just not going to fire him.
Is that just clickbait?
Clickbait. 100% clickbait. It's Conor being Conor. Everybody talks about me getting online and posting crazy shit. Bro, that motherfucker. Whatever. If I had the money Conor had, nobody would say shit about anything I said online. They would just run with it. But since he's got money, he can say whatever he wants. Conor ain't going to fight. He doesn't want to fight. He bought into BKFC thinking it was going to be this big thing. I honestly think that in a couple of years, the FBI is going to come in. They're going to seize control of the BKFC. Dave's going to fucking go to prison for fraud. Because what they're doing is fraud. I know they're doing fraud. They have to be doing fraud. Because you can't start with 4 or 5 investors.
Yeah.
And then in 5 years, get all this money coming in. And now you got 600 investors. So what he's doing is he's getting new investors to pay the old investors. That's called a Ponzi scheme. Okay. You're signing all this big ass talent, Todd Duffy for one. For whatever reason, they thought he was worth 75 grand. Well, they just lost 75 grand, got no viewership for that. So they're willing to give out 75 grand to people that hopefully will bring in eyes instead of spending that 75,000 on the lower talent that can build up and then bring in eyes naturally. They're wanting to buy viewership instead of build it. And I think that's why BYB is slower at growth than BKFC is because they're naturally building their viewership.
Now, how many fighters does BYB have total?
I couldn't tell you. I know it's not a deep roster like BKFC.
That seems like the problem with BKFC is the roster is just too deep.
It's for no reason.
Yeah.
And a majority of it is winless fucking dudes. Like the dude that got the tattoo, Rain Wells, the guy I just talked about earlier, that got the tattoo of fucking Dave Feldman and Conor McGregor.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's who now?
That's Rain Wells. That's the dude. His nickname, okay. His fight name is the guy off the couch.
Okay.
So that tells you. He's 0-2 in MMA, 0-1 in BKFC, and he's fighting an 11-5 guy and a 2-0 guy in BK, or a 1-1. He's 1-1. He lost to Jimmy Rivera, I think it was.
Okay.
So he lost to a legitimate guy. But then he beat the shit out of Trevor Loken, which was smoking people. So this dude's legit. He's going to go in here and he's going to fuck Rain up. And Rain is a business owner. He owns a coffee shop and all that. He can't afford to be going out here and taking all this fucking brain damage. And he's convinced he's going to win this. Like, for some reason, September 13th is going to be different than all the other times he went out there.
How old is he? He looks pretty old.
He's probably my age. He probably looked a couple years younger than me, 38 or so, probably.
Okay. Did he ever say why he got that tattoo? I thought he said he was going to – I thought he saw in the comments, like, he said something about why he got it. But like you said, it was the most horrible-looking tattoo.
Bro, not even the fact that it was Connor and Dave. But
Dave,
the fact
that two men on your back.
The fact of that, like, he talked to shit about my tattoos are all professionally shop done.
Yeah.
And I would never put a portrait on myself that doesn't look like the person that, like, Jesus Christ – looked like they melt like a butter statue is what they look like.
I was hoping that was not permanent, but apparently it was.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, oh, that's a pretty funny, you know, that's a funny because, you know, I thought about doing that. Like after that happened, I was going to go get like a Mike Vasquez stencil and put it on my cheek and be like, oh, my new tattoo. But there's no way I'm going to tattoo a promoter. Yeah,
I'm definitely going to get Redneck Mundell right here on one side. And Ryan Reber on the other.
See, and that's another one too. Ryan has had a couple of easy fights, and they threw Derek Perez in there, and they thought they was going to walk through Derek. And Derek's got that dog in him.
Yeah,
that right there made me a fan of both of them. Well, I was already a fan of Reber. I always talk shit about him and say he sucks, but that dude has talent like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
and. But that made me a Derek Perez fan, too, because both those dudes went down, and then they got back up, and they went at it. And those are the fights we need.
That was an amazing fight. Yeah, that was an amazing fight.
Yes. And the September 13th has some pretty decent even matchups. You know, the Reber and Bloss fight, that's going to be a really good fight.
I'm going to tell you what. I think Katz are sleeping on Bloss. He's like... I was producing a Circle of Kings podcast before me and him had a fallout. He does Knuckletown Officials now, the big face cat. And Blas was the first interview that I personally set up. And then I saw his fight after that. He hit dude with a two-piece, broke his nose, and did a backflip. And I was like, whoa, this cat is a beast. And I know Reber and them was saying, hey, you can't do backflips and stuff. But he went in there and manhandled Rockstar, which I'm interviewing tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so I think you're sleeping on Blas. And these Cubans are taking over.
Yes.
They're taking over.
Well, as soon as a Cuban is born, they're handed boxing gloves. So, you know what I mean? Like, but it's the same thing with Puerto Rico, bro. We've got some kids in Puerto Rico, bro. They would come in here and sleep most of the division, and they're 14 and 15 years old. Like, BKFC dropped the ball so bad when Elvin won that title. They could have went over to Puerto Rico and did a show and had all local people, and it would have been one of the best cards ever. And what they did was they faked it. Remember when they announced you have BKFC Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Where in the fuck's it at?
And there's also another country that they're not in no more. I heard that some other country they're not going to be doing it no more.
Yeah, Peru. They were supposed to go to Peru because they were going to go with Palomino. So what the plan was they were going to get Elvin to lose to Palomino and then go over and take over the Peru market because Palomino can sell tickets and brings eyes and has that name. And then, but you have hometown guys that are working jobs or, you know, raising a family, doing whatever, and coming out here and becoming champion. That's something that you should be promoting, not
some
jack off that got beat up in UFC and didn't have anywhere else to go. And now he's over here because you gave him a bunch of money. There's not one person that they brought over from the UFC is like, I came over here because I wanted to be great at bare knuckle. They all say, I came over here because they offered me a fuck ton of money.
Yeah. And that's Reber is like a barber by day and bare knuckle fighter by night.
Yeah. So, you know, you go into the barber shop, you know, do some videos of that, then him training and promote that. Then you had a bunch of people that were fired. Well, you got Captain Deadpool. Motherfucker's a fucking badass firefighter.
Yeah.
That's an American hero right there. How do you not promote that guy to be one of the best guys in your promotion that has a belt now, has an all-American job, he saves people's lives, saves people's homes, and you're just going to, well, he's got a belt, fuck him. They're dropping the ball on the people that they're trying, that they need to push. They're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to these big-name people that are past their prime. The only good people that they brought in is John Dodson.
And he didn't look too good over there in that Japan joint.
No, and even fucking worse, he just wins a bare knuckle fight for BKFC and says he cannot wait to fight for a Risen MMA title.
Yeah.
That was bad. That lets you know that he doesn't give a fuck. These dudes that they're pushing don't give a fuck about the sport or the company. They're there for the check. And then you got these other guys that this is all that they love. This is all that they do. All that they are. And they can't get recognition because they don't have a big fucking name. They don't have a big name because they don't have the UFC to be a platform for.
Yeah.
You're taking these guys that have already had a platform and an opportunity to make some of themselves. They fumbled the bag. And then you're just going to reward them and shit on the dudes that built your company? Get the fuck out of here. Like, they should be having, like, where the fuck is Tom Schoaf? Where's he been? You know what I mean? Like, all these older guys that have been around since the early days, they should have a position within the company. Yeah. Yuli just retired. He just fucking retired. And he got a job in BYB the same night. The same night he got a job in BYB staying around what he loves. And these other guys can't get any of that. But this is supposed to be some big multi-billion dollar corporation. That's my bitch about it, is they don't take care of the people that took care of them.
And I think if they don't treat some of these homegrown names that we've been talking about right, like, they're going to end up getting too old, retire out, and it's going to be hard to replace some of these names, man. It really is.
I mean, you can always – and all the names that I mentioned, I'm not talking smack about them. I'm not trying to, you know, poke at them or whatever. I'm just stating facts. But you can't bring Derek Gates – on every single card and have them fight top tier challengers. You can't do it. Like, they tried to get him. He was there in Sturgis just to be a fan, and they were trying to get him to jump in there last minute against fucking Latimer. Latimer sent him to the hospital 100%. They got Luke's what was his fucking name? I can't remember his name. Anyway, he got fucked up in got his ribs broken and he couldn't fly home. They had to take him home on a train.
Damn.
Because he's in there against people that are killers. You can't keep putting. Honestly, I think that's why BYB hasn't really hit me up, is because I'm asking to fight all these really experienced guys, and they're not trying to do those type of fights. Like, yeah. I want to fight Eric Olsen. I want to fight Eric Olsen bad. No way they're going to make that happen. He's got like 100 and something fights. I got one. So I understand that. And that's why I respect him a lot about it. But, you know, I think that they think I suck a lot worse than I do. And I think that they can't find somebody that's on my caliber that's not going to dog walk me or embarrass me. And I get it. Because I don't post my training videos. I post a bunch of crazy shit, whatever, whatever. But I'm hoping that we can come to an agreement. We can get into a fight. I can get into a fight. I really want to fight like maybe two or three times. And then I would like to get involved with the business somehow, you know, get involved with the company somehow and do something. But I'm not trying to, you know, make a career, get a title or anything. I just want to fight a couple times, do my thing, and go about my business. But when I see injustices, I've got to call them out.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, before we go, anybody want to shout out?
I want to shout out Sean Ulrich from Knuckle Up Podcast. He's okay. One of my biggest supporters, one of my biggest friends. He's actually one of the reasons that I got into the door with BYB is because of some of his kind words. So I want to shout out to him. Shout out to you, Paul Pickett, for having me on your show. I appreciate it. Thank you for giving a platform to everybody that you do give a platform to. And, you know, shout out to all the bare knuckle fighters, whether I've talked shit about you or supported you or whatever. I love the sport. I love everybody in it. I'm just here to bring in eyes, get exposure, and you know, spread bare knuckle. I do love the sport, and I want everybody to be treated fairly. And a big shout out to my brother Elvin. We love you. You're still our champion, and I 100% believe you should move over and go to BYB and get your belt over there, and get treated correctly and the way that you deserve.
I appreciate you taking time to do this, man. I'm gonna clip up the clips, and we probably gonna get some crazy reactions. They're gonna be like, "Why'd you interview this guy?" But they can try to bare knuckle me if they got a problem with it. They're gonna whoop my ass, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I know I'm long winded sometimes and stuff, and I appreciate you letting me get everything out.
Yeah, and hopefully you could push me in the right direction of interviewing some of these BYB fighters as well. Because I'm not, you know, obligated to the BKFC. I probably would have been if I would have stayed with the Circle of Kings. But, you know, he went his way. I went my way. I'm doing my thing. He's doing his thing. So I'm not obligated to have to just interview any one organization of fighters at all.
Well, I would definitely love, and I think it needs to happen. I'll reach out with Sean. He manages LT, and see if LT would be down to come onto the show and kind of explain everything, because he has a very interesting story. That dude has fought every combat sports around, and he's very interesting. So I think that would be a very good interview for you. You would learn a lot. The audience would learn a lot and give him some exposure. So like that's one of, he's probably the best bare knuckle fighter, and he has very little exposure, which is crazy to me.
I'm definitely interested in interviewing him, just like I was with the youngest bare knuckle fighter. I mean, that's the thing. He told me nobody wanted to interview him because they didn't know who he was. But, like, y'all looking at it wrong. This kid is already, like, cemented in the history. He's 18 years old fighting a bare knuckle fight, you know?
Right.
Against grown men. I mean, that alone, you know, is interesting to me, you know? And I'm not going to lie. I think I got a lot more than I expected out of that interview. You know what I'm saying? You know, because that's the thing. And if this kid becomes something eventually someday, he's going to remember, hey, this is the guy that interviewed me first, that let me get my voice heard first. Same thing with the cat that was in Kansas City, Blaine Warburton. Like, I'm the first cat to interview him. Then he got his little news interviews. And I seen Dave and him talking about him, you know, how he's stepping up his press and stuff like that. Because like we said, that's what they want to see, the self-promotion and whatnot. Yep. And he made sure when he posted, like, everybody interviewed him, he put my name, you know, at the top first. And I was like, that's what's up, man. Because, you know, and if he becomes something, you know, hopefully he remembers, yeah, this is the cat that kind of gave me my voice at first, you know. Because a lot of these fighters I know don't really have a following. And like, if they're, like, 0-1 or making debuts, it seems like people don't want to reach out to them and interview them. Unless it's, like, Mike and Mish, though. Mike and Mish, I will say, is interviewing any and everybody they can.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
I don't know them personally, so.
They started talking shit on me because I was talking shit with Tony Soto. I was like, you're a media outlet. You're not supposed to be getting personally involved in beef, you fucking cocksucker.
Yeah.
Fuck both those guys, fucking homos.
Well, I interviewed Melanie Shaw. When I reached out to her, she was like, oh, you must have heard the drama. I was like, I didn't really hear the drama. Like, I guess she was complaining about her fight before she said she got hit in the back of the head. I was like, look, I'm not here to take sides. I just want to interview, you know?
And that's I think she did get hit in the back of the head a little bit, but she's a tough chick. But she's another one doesn't have a whole lot of skill, but she's really tough. You know,
She went viral for getting a tooth knocked out, and she was beat up bad that match.
Britton fucked her off.
Yeah.
And that's another fighter too, that if you've never trained with Britton Hart, if you've never trained with her, you would never know the amount of effort that she puts into every training session. Like, I wasn't a big fan of her. Like, I didn't have a problem with her. I just didn't have an opinion of her. And then she came out to Puerto Rico and trained with us, and she gained every ounce of my respect. Like, she came out there and was just hit the ball running, was keeping up with everybody. And in Puerto Rico, it's different, man. There's nowhere else like Puerto Rico to train, with the mountains and the weather and all that. Like, it's tough and grueling. And she came in there and just beat it the fuck down, dude. So she has all my respect too. Britton Hart is another one of those that has the belt, and she deserves it.
She seems to hold back a lot of her content while she's with her training content, though. So I think that's why you be thinking that, like, that she don't really, you know, you think, she's kind of cute. She's showing the booty at the fight. She can't do nothing.
And what's crazy is she was always against that. She always talked bad about using sexuality to promote yourself. She was going to do it through fighting. And then she realized, they don't give a fuck how good I can fight. They care how good I look. And so she started doing her thing, and now she's getting her recognition and all that. And, you know, more power to her. But with the women's division, that's what I love about BYB's women division. They have women in there that can fucking fight and get down. BKFC, they got big tits. They got people that flash. They got booty shakers, big asses, big thick thighs, tattoos, whatever. But it's very, very limited on skill set. That's why you've got two girls that are holding the belts that they're probably never going to relinquish. Like Taylor Starling. Love Taylor Starling to death. Yeah. She's a great, great person. Not a great fighter. Not a great one. And then Charissa Sagala. She's probably a great person. She's from my neck of the woods over here in San Bernardino. So she's from my neck of the woods. So she's probably a great person. Nice body, big tits. Can't fight real good, but got flown over to Thailand because she was fighting a girl that flashed her tits, and you got big tits fighting flash tits. It's popularity and whoever will turn in to see. It's not about the sport with BKFC, and that's going to be the downfall. I think BYB is more focused on the sport and growing naturally. That's why they're slower growing than BKFC has been, but it's going to last longer because you have natural built viewership. You don't have viewership fly by night that you have to pay for.
I can get what you're saying. They're after the popularity fights, which doesn't always make quality fights.
Right. There's four fights maybe on the September 13th card that are even halfway decent to quality, and the rest are walkthroughs. Like, I really think they're going to get Mo hurt. If Dave Mundell just goes out there and does Dave Mundell.
Yeah.
I don't see how a hospital visit isn't in his future. I don't. Wow. I love Mo to death. I think he's a great person. It breaks my heart to see this. I begged him not to do this. I begged him. I know how strong fucking Dave Mundell is. I know how good he is.
It almost seems like Dave didn't really want this fight that much either, man.
He has to take it.
But like you say, he hasn't fought in so long. They won't give him the Mike Perry fight. They keep getting thrown out there, but I think the fans would like to see that fight.
Yes. The fans want to see the best fucking fighters fighting the best fucking fighters. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see Derek Gates come in and get murked by Luis Palomino. Like this Fames fight, it's going to be awful for Fames. Fames is going to get beat the fuck up badly, but they need the ticket sales. But then you got Dave Mundell, that he's 7-1. He has a title. He's probably getting paid pretty. I think he's going up in weight. I think he's going up to 185 for this fight. Because he's 175 pound champion, right?
I think so. I know. I think he's the middleweight.
Yeah, I think it's 175. I don't really keep up.
And it might be that one. Much. It might be 165. To be honest with you,
because I only watch. I only really cared about. No, the 165 is Trout. No, that's 55. That's 55. I don't know who 65 is.
Yeah, he's the middleweight champ. So middleweight's fighting at you're right, 175. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think they're going up to 185. But Mo has a really hard time keeping weight on, so he's probably fighting at the weight that he walks around at. Dave's going to be cutting weight.
So and Dave technically should be 9-0.
Yes, I believe he should be.
Everybody I've heard say he got screwed. They say everybody I heard say he got screwed.
100%. He won that fight with Hector. 100%. Yeah. I was there personally. I was there in person. I watched it. And there's just no other team out there right now that's touching Shift MMA. They have two belts. They're saying Crystal Pittman's going to get a belt. I don't see that ever. Borga, she's really big, so I don't really see her getting dominated too much, so she can probably win a belt. And then, yeah, Brendan Allen. Yeah. All he has to do is walk in there with whoever's holding the title. It doesn't matter who's holding the title at the time.
Well, it's Kai Stewart is in that weight class.
It could be fucking the Incredible Hulk. Brandon's going to beat him. Brandon is the best 145-pound bare-knuckle fighter that there is right now.
And they definitely they wouldn't want that any more than Kai Stewart.
No.
Like, they'd rather have Kai Stewart have the belt than Brandon. And they really don't want Kai Stewart to have the belt, even though Dave's like, I think he's going to be a superstar. That refers that he's not a superstar yet.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have the style to become a, that's the other part about with Elvin. Elvin's style isn't exciting for casual fans. You have to really know defense to really understand and appreciate what Elvin does. Yeah. So it doesn't make him exciting for the casual fan, just like with Kai Stewart, all he does is rush in on you and get in close to you and do the little rabbit shots.
They it's call not it exciting. Dirty boxing, from what I heard. They call him. Yeah. They say he does dirty boxing.
Yeah, but it's a wrestler dirty boxing.
Yeah, because he got a wrestling background. Yeah.
So it's not a fan favorite type of style. So they're going to put him in matchups where. That's why they're putting him, if you were noticing, now they're starting to put Kai in there with heavy-handed motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They put him in there with Brian. Brian hurt his shoulder and couldn't get it done. So now they're putting Jimmy Rivera in there. They're going to put little beast tanks in there to try to push him forward to where he can't rush in on him. When he rushes in on him, he's going to hit a wall. And they're going to try to take that title from him 100%.
And he did Howard Davis the same way, just rushed it. But Kai Stewart got my props.
My respect. When he beat Brian, that cemented that he was legit for me.
Yeah, I said that too. If he beats El Gallo, like all these people, because they were doubting him on the Howard Davis. Then I was like, oh, he going to El Gallo. They still going to be doubting him. Mm-hmm. And if he wins this match, I don't got to hear, like, I don't want to hear nothing after that. Like, he's proved his point.
I lost $2,500 on the Howard Davis fight.
And then you had Howard Davis?
And after he won that fight, I wanted to bet on Brian. Yeah, I trained with Brian, and I'm friends with Brian. I got a lot of respect for him. I wanted to bet on Brian, but I was like, I think that Howard is better than Brian. Technically, Brian has a lot because Brian's brand new to fighting. You know, he's powerful, but Howard's been fighting longer. He has more.
Yeah,
technique.
Yeah.
So I thought if Howard loses to Kai, then there's a really good chance that Brian could lose to Kai too. So I'm not going to bet on it. And he pulled it out, which was crazy because Brian's a hard, he hits hard.
Yeah, he hits hard, yo. Like he hit Louis Lopez. Oh man, he hit the canvas hard.
Knocked his fucking screws loose. He's tough.
Yeah, and. You're not going to – that's the thing. Another problem I have is, like, these people that train together that they call themselves teammates. Like, you're not going to see Howard Davis versus El Gallo, I don't think, because they're teammates, right?
Well, I think they had a falling out because I know they were going back and forth on social media a little bit.
Okay.
But I mean,
so maybe we can see that. Yeah.
And you, South Florida's crazy, bro. Like,
yeah, no, you're right.
Everybody falls out with everybody, and then they get back together, and you know, it is what it is. But I don't really pay like. If they don't train with Ryan, I don't really follow them anymore. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. I keep track of Brian because I got a lot of respect for him, and I think we became friends. And I got a lot of respect for HD too. You know, so I follow them. They're not training with Slaughterhouse anymore, but I still follow them a little bit. But I'm a Slaughterhouse guy. So if you're training with Ryan Perez, then I'll go to war for you.
All right, we better wrap it up, man. Appreciate you taking time, man. I'm going to get off here, start clipping up some clips, see what kind of reactions we could get and whatnot. And I usually go hard with the clips. I try to get as many clips as I can. I got two different AIs to clip up clips.
Nice.
And whatnot. And, you know, even though you hated on by a lot of people, man, you friend of the show, man. You know, hit me up anytime. Definitely, you're definitely entertaining, man. And, you know, I'm going to stay following you and supporting what you got going on, man.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Paul. And I, you know, even though I'm not an active fighter right now, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to get on the show, man.
Yeah. And, you know, like, this was a really good conversation, man. You told me about some things I don't know. Like, I'm not no expert at one bit in this. You know, I just grew a love for this. And when the Circle of Kings thing kind of broke up, I was told myself, nah, dude, that's not it. I'm doing this still. I still got to do this. I still got to be a part of this. I just got to make a name for myself because I was just in the background producing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, that's the thing. Now I got to my face is out there front and center. I got another podcast too, Live from Vietnam, which I'm going to follow you from that too. That's my music podcast.
I follow you on there.
Yeah, I do a lot of old school hip hop interviews and old school R&B interviews and whatnot. But
make sure everybody goes and checks that out because that's awesome content, great interviews, great artists coming on there.
Appreciate it.
Never heard of, people that you should hear of.
Yeah,
so Life of Vietnam is awesome. I appreciate what you do, bub.
And you know, let me know if you get a new fight, man. Here, I want to know about that, man.
Yeah, hopefully we can get it. We can get it going on with BYB. There's two promotions that I would fight for. One's BYB and the other is Chill Sports out of West Virginia, Chase Hill. Chase Hill is awesome guy, takes care of his people. So I would fight for him and I would fight for Mike Vasquez whenever he asked. So that's what I'm looking at right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good evening and right. Stay blessed, Bob.
You too. All right. Peace. Well, there you go. Brandon Lambert, great conversation, man. Good perspective. I didn't know that much about BYB. I'm definitely going to learn more about it and try to get more acquainted with who's the up-and-coming fighters, who's the top fighters, and whatnot. But very interesting to hear, you know, the differences between BKFC and BYB. And I think bare knuckle in general is a sport that really has a lot of tremendous opportunity ahead of them to grow tremendously. Boxing being what it is right now, it's not what it used to be back in the days when I was coming up as a kid. UFC might have hit their peak. I mean, they could get bigger still. Who knows? But I'm not into watching dudes wrestle as much as I am just watching the guys knuckle up. And, you know, it makes me think about, you know, where my grandfather come from, you know, the back in the days when you had to move out when you were 16 years old, get a job on a farm, work for 3 meals a day, roof over your head and not a penny to your pocket. It just makes me think of just the days when we actually produced tough men, you know what I'm saying? And tough, smart men, because this is not just a tough man sport. It's a smart, tough man's sport. So probably going to get some controversy and maybe some slack for interviewing Brandon Lambert. But I'm not obligated to interview anybody, you know, just because you love or hate somebody. So I want to thank Brandon Lambert for taking the time and, you know, taking me to school with some of this BKFC history. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. And before I go, don't forget, follow the Live from Fayetteville podcast every Friday, 7 p.m. Music reviews. I moved it to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, and I'm actually going to start back with the reaction videos here on the Paul Pickett Podcast, reacting to sports content, politics content, world events, and whatever. That's the thing. I'm not afraid to talk about anything. We could talk about anything on here. You know? Just don't get in your feelings when we talk about it. That's all I got to say. Thank you for tuning in. Peace, and I'm out.